Masechet Baba Kama Daf Nun Zayin, following up on the Mishnah that said that the laws of Ona'a do not apply to land, slaves, and Kodashim, Kodesh animals. We have now a follow-up. Amar Rav Chasa Ba'e Rav Rabbi Ameh, Ona'a En Lahem, Bitu Mikach Yesh Lahem, O En Lahem. So Rav Chasa quotes a question that Rabbi Ameh asked. Says, I understand regarding land and consecrated animals that the law of Ona'a does not apply. But what if it's not, that's if it's 1/6 of overcharge or undercharge. But what if it's more than 1/6, in which case normally the sale would be canceled. Does that apply to land and consecrated animals and slaves? Or that law also does not apply. Amar Rav Nachman Hadar, Amar Rav Chasa Pashit Rabbi Ameh. Rav Nachman said, after Rav Chasa quoted the question, then he also said that Rabbi Ameh resolved the question, and he said, Ona'a en lahem bitu mikach yesh lahem. Although the law of Ona'a does not apply if it's precisely 1/6, then you can go back and get your money back. That does not apply to this category. However, if it's more than 1/6 away from the normal price, then the sale can be canceled. Rabbi Yona Amar, Ahekdeshot. Rabbi Yirmiya Amar, Akarkaot. V'tarva Mishmed Rabbi Yochanan Amiru, Ona'a En Lahem, Bitu Mikach Yesh Lahen. The question is, does it apply to all things on the list or only some of them? So Rabbi Yona says it only applies to some of the things on the list regarding Hekdeshot. There, it's canceled. Rabbi Yirmiya says, no, it applies to karkaot and land. If it's too much, then it's canceled. And now both of these opinions, Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Yirmiya, were both explaining the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, who said that although there's no law of Ona'a when it's exactly 1/6, the transaction is canceled if it's more than 1/6. Now, do they totally disagree with each other, or there's some overlap? The one who said that regarding Hekdeshot, if there's a big discrepancy, then the sale is canceled, would say all the more so for land. Regarding consecration, there's less of a reason to say that it can be canceled, because one is making a transaction with the Beit HaMikdash, who's the party on the other side, right? Is God giving you a bad deal? How does it work? So if you say it applies to Hekdeshot, then all the more so to any land transactions, also the sale will be canceled. Manda mar karkaot aval hekdeshot la kiddush Shmuel. But one who says that the sale is canceled regarding land would not say that the sale is canceled regarding consecrated property, because there you'd follow the opinion of Shmuel. Damar Shmuel hekdesh shaveh maneh shechid lo al shaveh piruta mechulal. He says it actually works both ways. If one acquires something from hekdesh and overpays, okay, so you know who cheated you. No, that's the sale goes through. You can't go back. And also, if you have something hekdesh and you desacralize it, for let's say it's worth 100 and an animal worth 100, and you desacralize it onto one peruta, it works even though it's way under and you'll have to pay the difference. Nevertheless, the transaction works, and Beit HaMikdash can't go back and say, hey, this big animal is from 100, you now it's only one penny you gave. Forget it, it's canceled. No, they don't say that. It does work. That's what Shmuel says. Tenan hatam. Im haya kodesh ba'amum yasa lecholin v'sarich la'asot lo damim. Mishnah in Masechet Timura says that if there is an animal, a holy animal that was blemished, and then you replace it with a different one, so it becomes chulin, because it has a blemish, so you have to do that. Ba'amum, yasa lechulin. However, sarich lasod lo damim, you still have to make up the difference in monetary value. If you had an animal worth 1,000 that was consecrated, now you change it out into an animal that's worth only 500, you're still going to have to pay the other 500. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, yasa lechulin devar Torah, sarich lasod lo damim min divrehem. Resh Lakish amar af sarich lasod lo damim min ha-Torah. Machloket, that payment, is it doraita drabana? And everybody agrees that the animal itself that you switch out, that is a Torah law. But the fact that you have to pay the additional 500 to the Hekdesh because the next second animal was smaller, that, according to Biochanan, is only midrabanan. However, Rav Shakish says, the payment also of the extra 500 is a requirement midoraita. Now, b'maya skinan ilema b'chde ona'a b'ha'a lema resh lakish harich lasot lo damim devar Torah v'hatenan elu devarim sh'enem ona'a hakarkaot v'abadim ashtarot v'ahekdeshot. What case are we discussing? If it's a case where the difference between the old consecrated animal and the new one is 1/6 an amount of ona'a, well, in this case, would resh lakish really say that you have to pay the difference mid de'oraita? We learned in our Mishnah, not so, that the following things is no law of ona'a, including land, slaves, deeds, and hekdeshot. That's our case, and there's no law of ona'a. So certainly, midoraita, the Resh Lakish could not say that. Ela bitul mikach. Rather, must be talking about that it's more, like my case, of $500 difference for a sale of 1,000. So this would be the amount of more than ona'a that would be worthy of canceling the entire transaction. Well, in that case, would Rabbi Yochanan say that you have to pay the difference only midrabanan, but not midoraita? After all, we saw that there was a machloket about what case this principle applies to, that there's no ona'a, but there is bitul mekach, and Rabbi Yonah said that it applies to hekdesh, at least according to him, even though it's true, Rabbi Yonah said it only applies to land, but let's follow Rabbi Yonah, who says it applies to hekdesh, and both of them were saying their laws in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that although ona'a does not apply, cancellation of the sale does apply. So therefore, according to the Biona, here's a case of hekdeshot, where someone takes something that's worth 1,000 and then redeems it for something that's only worth 500. And so that's going to be a big difference. And if you don't pay the difference, then that transaction is invalid. But if the transaction is valid, then you have a kind of problem because you have an animal that's a baal mum. So clearly, according to Yochanan, on the deoraita level, you're going to have to pay the difference. So it doesn't make sense to say that it's talking about something, a change that's more than bitul mekach, more than 1/6. So now we have a problem. So we're going to say, no, it is in fact a large difference in the price. And we're going to have to switch around the opinions. And actually, Rabbi Yochanan is going to be the one that says that one has to pay the difference on a deoraita level, because he's the one that says that regarding hekdeshot, although there's no law of ona'a, there is a law of a cancellation of the transaction, and so you better pay the difference so the transaction will not be canceled. Now we ask, b'maykami palgen, now what's at the root of the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and the Shakish? B'dishmuel, damar Shmuel, hekdesh shave maneh shechilelo al shave peruta mechulal, mor it le'dishmuel, umor le'd le'dishmuel. They're arguing with whether they agree with Shmuel or not. Shmuel said that if you have something, a consecrated animal worth 100, and you redeem it for something that's just a peruta, it doesn't have to be animal or anything else, whatever it is, that you are redeeming, the transaction works. So according to Resh Lakish, yes, he agrees that it will work, and therefore you have to pay the difference, but only midrabanan. If you at the right level, it works no matter what. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says that he does not agree with Shmuel, and he thinks that if you don't pay the difference, then the transaction will be null and void. And so, no, it's not sufficient. And therefore, on the deoraita level, one has to pay the difference in the amount. Or another way to answer the question above. Maybe everybody agrees with the principle of Shmuel. Everybody agrees with the principle of Shmuel, that even if you take something that was worth 100 and consecrate it to something that's worth 1, that's totally fine. The difference of opinion is that Rabbi Yochanan says, Bidi avad, if you did it, then it's okay, right? It went through, but lechatechila, you should not do that. And therefore, certainly you're going to have to pay, no matter what, you're going to have to pay the difference in the amount from a deoraita level. However, Resh Lakish says, even lechatechila, one can take something that's worth 100 and redeem it for something that's worth just 1 peruta. You can even do that lechatechila. And therefore, the payment of the difference is required only midrabanan. Or a third answer, or you know what, we'll go back to our original suggestion that the Mishnah in Masechet Temora is talking about a case where the difference between the blemished animal and the new animal is 1/6. And you know what? You don't have to switch around the opinions of Rabbi Yochanan and the Shakish. Instead, we can explain that they are arguing regarding the opinion of Rav Chista. But Rav Chista kami palge de amar. May en lahem ona'a enan betorat ona'a. Deafilu pachot mikede ona'a chozer. He says, when we say that the ona'a does not apply to these cases of Kodashim and so on, then it doesn't mean that that's not a leniency, that, you know what, the sale applies no matter what, but rather it's a stringency. They don't have the law. They don't have the protection of ona'a. See, ona'a is a stringency, but it's also a leniency. It means that if it's 1/6 or less, then the sale is valid. If it's less than a 6, you can't complain, right? That's it. It goes through. And so regarding movable items, you have the protection of ona'a. However, if regarding hekdesh, even less than ona'a, you know what? You change and you can cancel the whole thing. And 1/6 also, instead of getting money back, you cancel the entire thing. That's the machloket. And according to this, Resh Lakish agrees with Rav Chista. And Resh Lakish now is the one, like we said originally, he's the one that says on a deraita level you have to pay. Why? Because there is no protection of ona'a, and since it's a 6 or less, there's no protection, so you have to pay on the deraita level. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rav Chista, and he thinks that there is no ona'a, meaning as a leniency. There's no ona'a, it does not apply to hekdesh, and therefore, since it's only a difference of 1/6, therefore, although you have to pay, it's only midrabanan, because the sale will go through no matter what. Me'etibe. Now we have a challenge against Rav Chista. Here we say that the laws of interest and overcharging, undercharging apply to laymen, regular deals between two people. But the laws of interest and the prohibition of interest and the prohibition of overcharging, undercharging do not apply to hekdesh. It seems from here that the laws of a layperson are more stringent than the laws regarding hekdesh. And Rav Chista said the opposite, that for ona'a is more stringent when it comes to hekdesh. So we answer, mi alim matnitin deokimna betorat ona'a hachiname ribit vedin ona'a lehejot ve'en ribit vedin ona'a lehekdesh. Well, is this baraita stronger than our Mishnah? And we already answered in our Mishnah that it means that there's no stringent, no law at all. There's no protection of ona'a in the case of hekdesh. So in fact, it means that hekdesh is more stringent. So here also in this baraita, we can explain it similarly, that ribit and the law of ona'a apply to hejot, meaning the protection of ona'a applies to hejot, but the law of interest does not apply to hekdesh, and the protections of ona'a do not apply to hekdesh. For ona'a, for hekdesh, even 1/6 and less, the sale can be canceled. Yachi haynu de katani sefa ze chomer behajot mi behekdesh. Well, if so, what are you going to do with the continuation of that braita that says this is a way in which laws of lay people are more stringent than hekdesh? So that means it's supposed to be more stringent. Does that mean that ona'a is more stringent for hejot because it does not apply to hekdesh, meaning in a lenient way? Doesn't it mean that? This is no, at a beat, maybe this principle is only going on at a beat. At a beat is a way in which the transaction of a layperson is more stringent, has a prohibition of ribit over hekdesh, but the other way around, for ona'a, actually, the laws of hekdesh don't have the protection of ona'a, and even less than 1/6, the sale will be canceled. In that case, we ask, litni name zechom behekdesh behejot ona'a. So how come the Braita doesn't also say, well, there is one way in which hejot is hekdesh, that's ribit, and add, there's another way in which hekdesh is more stringent than hejot and regarding ona'a. Why not say the principle in the other way, or other way around also? And we answer, hachi ashta, what are these two cases the same? Bishlam zechom behejot mehekdesh vetula. El hekdesh zechomer vetula. It makes sense to say a principle that ribit is the one way, and it's the only way, in which transactions between two lay people are more stringent than a transaction with Hekdesh, right? That's it, Ribit, and that this is the only one. But the other way around, for Hekdesh, is Ona'ah the only way that Hekdesh is more stringent than that transactions with lay people? There are many, many other ways in which a transaction regarding Hekdesh is more stringent. So it wouldn't make sense to say, this is a Chomer, there's lots of them. Or rather, it's more interesting to talk about the other way around, that this here is one example where Hejot is more stringent than Hekdesh. So that's worth pointing out. The other way around is actually not worth pointing out. We now ask about that Braita, Ribit Hekdesh Hechidameh. What's a case of charging interest regarding consecrated property? Ilema de'osfe gizbar me'ah be'me'ah ve'asrim, v'alo ma'al ha'gizbar, v'chavan sh'ma'al ha'gizbar yosu me'otav l'acholin v'ahu lehu le'dehejot. If you say that, it's talking about the temple treasurer who takes some consecrated money and he lends out 100 to get back 120, well, that is a case of interest. The problem is that the temple treasurer is not allowed to do that. He can't just go and give out, loan out temple treasury money. And therefore, the temple treasurer, by doing that, commits me'ilah. And the second he lends it out and commits me'ilah, then that money is no longer consecrated. It's chulin, it's regular money. And so this is not a case of ribit of consecrated money, because now it's ribit of non-consecrated money. So that can't be the case. Amar Rav Hoshaya, hacha maskinan kegon shekibel alav lesapek selatot me'arba ve'amadu mishalosh. So Rav Hoshaya says, we're talking about a case where you have a provider of fine flour. He sells fine flour, and he provides to the Beit HaMikdash. And they make a deal early on in the season. The Beit HaMikdash can do that. They have lots of reserves of money, so they get a good price. And they do so at a time when you can get four se'ah for one se'lah. And then later on, at the time of delivery, the price got more expensive, and the price is only three se'ah for one se'lah. So what happens in such a case? We see in the Braita, the Kedetanya, HaMekabel alav sepek se'atot me'arba, v'amdu mishalosh mesapek me'arba, mishalosh v'amdu me'arba mesapek me'arba, shiyad hekdesh ala eliona. The law is that no matter if the price goes up or down, the Beit HaMikdash always has the upper hand. They're always going to get four no matter what. So if they set the price when at the time when it's cheaper and you can get four se'ah, and then it goes down and then it gets more expensive, they still get the higher amount for what they paid originally. And if they made the deal when it was three se'ah per se'lah, and then it got cheaper, then the provider has to give four. And so you see that they get no matter what. So in this case here, where they set a price that when it was cheaper, and then it becomes more expensive, they still get more stuff at the end. So this kind of looks like interest, and it would be prohibited if it was two laymen that were doing business in this way to pay for one amount and then get more at the end than that price would, the price is at that point, because basically he gave him they gave him a certain amount, he gave him one se'la at the beginning, and now he's getting four, which is worth more than a se'la. So he's there, the Beit HaMikdash is getting more at a later time than what they paid originally. So that is interest, but it's permitted when it comes to the Beit HaMikdash. Rav Papa amar hacha be'avnei binyan ha'mesorot ha'gizbar haskinin kedu Shmuel damar Shmuel bonin bechol ve'achar kach makdishin. Or another case of interest is regarding the building material, the building stones that were given over to the treasurer from the quarry, from the stone owners. In that case, it is a donation. However, Shmuel taught that they do not consecrate it while they're building. The problem is that if they consecrate it right away when it's donated, then we're afraid that the builders, they're going to get tired, they're going to sit on it, lean on it, and that would be committing me'ilah. So it's much easier to work with when they are not consecrated. So they would not consecrate it, build it, and then once it was the wall was built, then they would consecrate the entire wall. So in the meantime, when it's not consecrated, the temple treasurer, if he wants to, he can lend it out for interest. And that would not be me'ilah, so what doesn't have the problem of the first suggestion that we had, and so he can lend it out and get more back. And that would be fine because it belongs to the Bet HaMikdash. Next part of the Mishnah says, En behen tashlumei kefel, regarding slaves and documents, land, consecrated property. There's no law of a double payment. Menahan emile, what's the source? The Tanur Rabbanan. Akol devar pesha kelal. This is in Shemot, in the laws of watchmen, that normally would have to pay double, or a thief, that has to be a double. So here it uses klal u'pralu klat. On any matter of trespass, that's klal. Shor ha-chamor ha-sev al-salma. Al-salma, it mentions items, movable items here. Pirat, al-kol ha-beda asher yomar, chazar ve-kalan. Any item that is lost. So this is a kalal again. Kalal upratu kalal iatadan ela ke ayan haperat ma perat mefurash davar mitatev gufom amon avkol davar mitatev gufom amon. So we generalize from the examples, and just like in the examples, these are all movable items that are in have intrinsic value. So we exclude anything. So to anything that is movable and has intrinsic value, that excludes yatsu karkaot shena mitaltelin yatsu avadim sheukshu lekarkaot yatsu shtarot shaf apishem mitaltelin. So that excludes land, which is not movable. It also excludes slaves, because they have the same law as land, and also excludes deeds, because they don't have intrinsic value. It's just the writing in it that says you have the right to collect this debt or whatever. And hekdeshos also include, because the end of that pasuk says ra'ehu, which means only if it's from one person to another and not to the Bet HaMikdash. Furthermore, there's no payment of four or five in the case of, let's say, a consecrated animal that someone steals and sells or slaughters. Why is there no law of four and five? Because it has to be four and five and not three or four. In other words, since we know that you already don't pay double, so the four and five is going to, the double is included in the four and five. So if there's no double payment, then the four and five is going to be reduced down to three and four. There can't be three and four, it has to be four and five. So if there's no double payment, then there's no four and five payment either. The Mishnah continued and said that someone is given these items to watch, slave, land, consecrated items, or a deed, and these are Shomer Chinam. Normally Shomer Chinam has to take a vow in order to get out of paying, but in this case he doesn't. Minahane miled turbanan ki ten ish ra'ehu kelal kesef kelim perat v'gonam ben ta'ish chazar v'kalal kelal u'perat u'kelal iatadan ela ke'ayna perat. Here also we do a kelal perat u'kelal from the law of Shomer Chinam, where it says if someone gives to his friend, that sounds like anything, but then it specifies money or vessels is an example. Then it says, and it is stolen, sounds like anything that's stolen. So we generalize from those examples, just like those examples are movable items that have intrinsic value. So to any movable items that have intrinsic value, then the Shomer Chinam will have to swear if they were lost or stolen. That excludes Yasu Karkaot Shena Mitaltelin, the Afsu Abadim Shukshul Karkaot, Yasu Shtarot, She'af Al Pisha Mitaltelin Gufan Mamon Nekdeshot, Amar Kerare Ayhureo Velo Shel Hekdesh. So land is not movable, and slaves are the same as land, and deeds do not have intrinsic value. And Hekdeshot, the end of the Pasuk says, to his friend, and not that of someone else. Actually, it's in the beginning of the pasuk here, ki ten ish el re'ehu. So it's only from layperson to layperson that one has to make a vow, but not if it's something that's consecrated. Nose sachar eno meshalem. And similarly, a paid watchman also does not pay if it's lost or stolen, as he normally does, if it's one of these items. And so here we look at the Pesukim a little bit later on. Then those Pesukim, the next chapter, the next paragraph after Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, and says if someone gives to his friend, sounds like anything, and then it specifies these animals as a detail, and then Chol Behema, so that's another generality. Kelal Uperat Ukelal Iatadan Elakena Perema Perat Mefresh Dabar Mitatevik for Mamon, Avkol Dabar Mitatevik for Mamon. And so we learn that we generalize things that are similar to the detail, which are movable items and that have intrinsic value. Yasokar Kosh, Sha'enan Mitatelot, מטלטלין יעשו עבדים שהוקשו לקרקעות, יעשו שטרות שאף על פי שמטלטלין אין גוף המון הקדשות, אמר החמן הרעהו, רעהו ולא של הקדש, in the same derivation, similar derivation as before, not land because it's not movable and not slaves because those are juxtaposed to land and not deeds because they do not have intrinsic value in that hekdesh because the pasuk says only for his fellow person and not that of consecrated animals. Baruch Adonai Leolam. Amen v'amen.